This is the Adventure Mindset Podcast. We're your hosts, Tanya and Adam, travel filmmakers living in our camper van and out of our backpacks for the last 4 years.
Through our experience and through conversations with others, we discuss travel, adventure, courage and mindset.
You'll hear from guests who remind us that life is short, that personal growth matters, and that adventure is for everyone, whatever adventure means to you.
Subscribe to join our community. This is the Adventure Mindset Podcast.
Welcome back to the Adventure Mindset Podcast.
Welcome back.
We are in Jits and we have Triggy, our dog.
We have. So we are all back. The whole crew is back. We're back in Jits. Feels like we're back home. And it's really nice. It's a really nice feeling. We were saying that coming back to Jits felt like the perfect time because we weren't like tired of backpacking and we weren't like, oh God, I can't wait for this to be over. But at the same time, we were excited about the prospect of coming back to Jits and coming back to van life and of course having Trigger back in the van with us. So it's really nice and we feel really happy. And that is kind of a lot about what this conversation is going to be about. It's going to be about our experience backpacking and our experience coming back from backpacking to van life and kind of like the comparisons and the pros and the cons.
Yeah, the comparisons, but also how backpacking and our trip just changed our mindset. Yeah. And yeah, we say this all the time through the conversations that we have with others, but travel, adventure, new experiences, they grow you as a person.
Yeah, and pushing yourselves out of your comfort zone.
Which we did.
Which is what we did on two very specific occasions. But in general, I remember before we went off traveling, we were a bit apprehensive. We were like, oh, what about safety with our camera equipment? Like, how's it going to work? Like, do we need to book our accommodation in advance? Because of course, being in a van, we are so used to not having to worry about anything and just being able to go with it. So it was a very different type of travel that we haven't really done before. I'd never done travel like that before. I have been to that part of the world, but it was kind of part of packages, so I didn't need to worry about stuff. So
packages?
Yeah, like I did a tour when I went back in 2011, like I went to Thailand, but I used some company called Intrepid Travel. They're a travel agency and they arranged everything for me.
Oh, right. I didn't know you did that.
Yeah. So it was like we knew what we were doing. We had two packages that we lined up. It was me and my...
It's so funny, isn't it? Like how times have changed. I'm pretty sure they're still going, but it's hard to think about how travel is organized now versus back
for
in
us,
the day.
I'd never think of doing a package holiday thing now.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got straight into it, haven't we? We were gonna do an intro, set the scene where we are and everything, but we've just got straight into the conversation.
Well, very quickly.
very quickly.
Where are we? Classic van life park up. We are parked up in a car park right outside a gym.
Yeah, which is one of our favourite little park ups, actually. You pay £10 for the night, which is great, and then £15 for a week membership at the gym, and then you've got a shower, you've got the gym, there's a toilet block outside, there's a supermarket around the corner. Happy days, we're loving it.
Absolutely. And
it's a functional one, isn't it?
Yes. And I think that highlights how van life has evolved for us. So during our first year of van life, it was like 98% of the time, if not almost 100% of the time, we wild camp whilst we were traveling around Ireland and Scotland and Europe and beyond. But as we have gotten, you know, this is year four of van life, full-time van life for us. And there are certain times where we just love to be in one spot. Mm. And for us, having access to a shower where we don't have to worry about our water as much as we do in Jits. And it's just luxury.
I would also say, though, that wild camping is still the most fun thing about van life.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not, it's literally just, I mean, well, I think we've said this before. One of the things that you miss when you live in a van is having a routine.
Stability.
And the stability, right? I know it seems so crazy because routine and stability for us, being parked in one spot for, a long period of time, like a week, is like, wow. Because obviously when you're wild camping, we've said it time and time again, you want to be respectful. You don't want to outstay your welcome. You don't want to be in one place for too long because...
Normally it's one night, two nights, and I'd say three nights, absolute maximum at a wild camping spot because you don't want to be irritating to people and therefore ruin that spot for everyone else.
Exactly. So for us, stability is being in one place for a week and having access to a gym. Look, we have our weights with us as well, so we can work out, but this just feels like a hybrid. And whilst we love wild camping, and that is the majority of how we do van life, it just feels really nice to be right here. I'm looking at the gym right now if I shift my eye this way.
But I would also say, whilst we're on the topic of wild camping, I do think that particularly in the UK, since we started 4 years ago, it has become a bit harder. There are more no overnight camping signs because van life and people wild camping is so much more common than it was when we started. So that is something that is interesting. And actually, in August, we are going over to Ireland and we are doing a road trip. We're going over in Ireland to literally do a road trip. And it's going to be really interesting to see how the wild camping is compared to our very first trip in Ireland. I am imagining it's going to be not as easy. It's going to be a bit more challenging. There's going to be more signs up. And also, it's peak season. We're going to be going right in the middle of summer. So, yeah, I'm really interested. I'm a bit like, not concerned. Concerned is a strong word. I'm whatever's below concerned.
And one notch under.
Yeah, one notch under concerned about how the wild camping situation is going to be for us out there in August in Ireland, which I know is now particularly a popular destination for camper vans.
Well, if you're new to us and maybe you're also new to our YouTube channel, maybe you haven't been there yet, how we started was quitting our jobs in London to live in a van for a year. We saved up our money and the first place that we went to was Ireland, where I'm from. And rather than going there for the intended 2 weeks, we ended up staying for 2 months because we loved it so, so much. Mm-hmm. It was at the end of 2019, so right before the pandemic. And also Van Life Ireland, it just wasn't a thing. It wasn't popularized.
Well, not that we knew about. And yeah. I think just van life in general has become so much more popular since COVID for so many reasons. It makes so much sense. And yeah, that was it. And then now 4 years later and we're still van lifing and we're still YouTubing.
Yeah, and actually that is a great segue to kind of kick things off and go, why did we decide to go backpacking after living in a van full time for so long? What was the reason?
So anybody who is listening who has spent a significant amount of time doing van life or roughing it in any sort of way, that is tiring. There is fatigue, and there is definitely such a thing as van life fatigue, because you have to think about things that you don't have to think about in your everyday life, such as your water, where you're going to park, emptying the grey waste, the fact that the toilet might be getting full and you've got to go and sort that out. And obviously everything being very small, you've got limited storage, you're constantly on top of each other. So it's definitely something that can wear you down over a long period of time. So I think we were getting a bit fatigued and a bit tired of living in a van. I think I speak for me in particular. Tanya, you were, but not as much as me. I think I definitely started to notice it more. Secondly, living in a van and traveling in a van is great, but also you don't cover the same amount of distances that you can cover whilst flying in the same time. And also the parts of the world that you can get to, you're more open. And there are different pros and different cons about where you can go and where's best to go in a van. And for us, Europe in a van is the best. It's amazing. But for example, the places that we were backpacking to, like Nepal, Indonesia, places like Bhutan, there's no way we could have done that in a van. And we wanted to go and see places that were just a bit different to Europe, but still affordable. So that's why we decided to leave our van for 4 months and go off and explore some different parts of the world and different types of traveling. And now we're back.
Yeah, we left her on a field. She had her tarpaulin covering her for...
Yeah, it has to be said as well. We came back and she is noticeably just a bit more rusty, a bit more scrappy on the outside. And it's a bit... Oh, God. It's just like, she's looking old. We need to give her some love.
Yeah, I think it's only a matter of time before the underneath her just falls apart.
Oh, God, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
We need to get some welding done and assess. But anyway.
I just, on that, I would say it's like you always, you often hear us say like, oh, we live in our little old rusty van. And it sounds really lovely and endearing, but the reality of it is that it also gives us a knot in our stomach, because we know that the time that we have left in JITS is numbered. And this has been our home, and it's sentimental, has sentimental value, because JITS belong to your mom. And, you know, so we're making the most of it, and we have been making the most of it. We've been back for 2 weeks. We've been seeing friends. We went to a wedding. I also then flew back to Ireland to pick up Triggy, because van life with a dog, oh my goodness, we absolutely love it.
With the right dog.
With the right dog. And Triggy is certainly the right dog.
He perfect van dog.
Yeah. And we've been busy working and editing. So, Adam, you have been editing the Rinjani film, which is out now. So for anyone listening, please go check it out. We are so proud of that film. And we'll talk about what Mount Rinjani was for us, because that was one of those things that we did that did shape and shape our mindset.
Yeah. So Mount Rinjani was the hardest hike that we have ever done. It was actually our first trek, to be fair. And the trek basically means that you're staying overnight, and it's a more than one day hike. I think we mentioned this in the last episode.
No, but you know what? Since then, this morning, I realized it's actually the second, because remember in the Dolomites?
Oh, yeah. We went up to the top, stayed at night, and came down.
Yeah, so this
is... Fair. Okay, so it was our second, but it was our first multi-day. Three-day.
Yeah.
It was the hardest, biggest, longest, and... Oh my, it was absolutely beautiful, but it was also very, very challenging, especially for you, Tanya.
It really was. And I don't know if any of you are like this, but whenever I'm faced with something that I know is going to be really challenging, I kind of just compartmentalize it. And I know I'm doing it, but I do not want to overthink it, because if I do, I could talk myself out of it. And I know for some other people, it gives them peace and a sense of control if they research it, if they really know what they're doing. Whereas for me, I was just like, I know this is going to be really difficult. I don't want to suffer twice by thinking about it before. However, what ends up happening is that it was a real shock to my system, because although we had been, you know, keeping fit beforehand, which I think must have helped, at the same time, I was aching the entire time. I was really struggling. There was many times that I felt like I just want to stop, relax, can we turn back? But I couldn't. I couldn't say that out loud. I didn't even want to say those words, either to you or to the camera, because obviously we were filming the whole experience. Because if I uttered those words, then I felt like it was really going to impact how I would show up. So I compartmentalized a lot of that. And it also meant that after we had finished and completed this trek, which was incredible, I also felt this sense of disappointment in myself, because in our films, it's so important for us, we say it all the time, that we want to be honest with you when we're showing up. We want to show you the real and the honest stuff. And I felt like whilst we could show that it was difficult, at the same time, when you would point the camera at me, I would say, yes, this is hard, but I would have a smile, even though inside I felt like I was a broken person. And I thought it was really important to be able to let people know how difficult it was, so that you know that Rinjani, and probably similar treks like this, it's just as beautiful as it is difficult. And I think there were so many parallels with a life that I felt like, I just felt so empowered that I could endure this physical pain and that, you know, that I volunteered for, and that I did it. I came out the other side.
I think it's, well, firstly, to go back to the compartmentalizing in the build up, I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. Whilst sometimes I do accidentally kind of like do that because I'm too caught up in whatever I'm doing before the trek, for example, in this instance, we were like diving and doing all of that. So I didn't have time to really think about the trek. But for me, I much prefer leaning into what it is so I can feel like I can be prepared so I don't get caught off guard. And of course, you can never necessarily completely prepare for something like this, because there'll always be unexpected things that you, depending on the size of the expedition, the adventure, whatever you're going on, there are going to be elements that you can't prepare for. But I still feel like I feel better going into them knowing that I'm being prepared. And for example, like with a cycling trip that I'm hoping to do, I want to make sure that I spend lots of time on the bike and I get fit and I work out, okay, how fit do I have to be to do however many kilometers I have to do every day, and try and at least get towards that so that I'm not, so it's not a shock to the system, and so that I can actually enjoy the expedition rather than just feeling exhausted the whole time. So yeah, it's interesting. But it's also actual Mount Rinjani and the trip and what it did to us is it really did push us out of our comfort zone a bit. And again, I think more so you, Tanya, than me. It definitely did push me out of my comfort zone a bit. But for you, it really did. And what that has now done is it's expanded what your comfort zone is.
Yes.
So you can now feel confident about going, okay, I've done that challenge. That means this next challenge idea I have, which is your cycling around Ireland, I can do that. It's not going to be easy, but I know that I can do things that aren't easy. And I think that's the amazing thing.
Absolutely. You know what was a really surprising and almost annoying thing that happened to me the morning after we finished the trek and we were down at the bottom and we had checked into this little small little hotel? I remember waking up and you were still asleep and I was thinking to myself, wow, I can't believe that we climbed Mount Rinjani. And I was thinking like, and I did it. And, you know, I was having all these thoughts. And then this annoying thought popped into my head. I go, what else could I do? And I remember just being so annoyed with myself. And I was like, Tanya, no, do not think about the next thing. You now need to process what you've just done. It's really interesting because this is the same thing that, you know, we spoke to Steph, who is the first person to motorcycle on all seven continents. And she said that she had the similar thing, is that once you do one adventure, you go, ooh, what's next?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, wow, this is like there's a new baseline of discomfort breeds confidence, right? I think that that's it. And it's these conversations, these themes that we have with other people, and everyone's saying the same thing. It's like, I'm not special, I just chose to do it. And they've heard it from someone else and I heard it from them, and I'm telling you now that you can do it, whatever it is that you have in your head that feels just that bit out of your reach and out of your comfort zone. And we always talk about comfort zone and pushing yourself out. I'm talking about the learning something new, physical pain. You absolutely can. And then once you do, you go, ah, oh, what's next? Yeah. And yeah, that's how climbing Mount Rinjani shifted our mindset, and it shifted mine, because now I've realized that I'm more capable. And I think that's the lesson from that. And we want to do more treks. We have, if everything goes according to plan, in September, we will be going to a new continent that we've never been before. Mm-hmm. And there is a specific trek there that is very well known. And hopefully
we'll be doing that. Yeah, we're not going to really talk too much about our upcoming plans because it's still ironing out the details, and we'll talk about that in the future moving forward. But yeah, we're very, very excited about the potential of that.
As soon as we can, we'll share it with you, of course. And hopefully that'll be in about a month's time if it works out. But I think it's worth saying that there's no chance that I would have ever considered that I'd be fit enough to do this if it hadn't been for Mount Rinjani. Again, if you want to see what it is that we're talking about, go to our YouTube, Jits Into the Sunset. Check it out. It's a film that we're really, really proud to share with you.
Yeah, and honestly, the landscape and the views and the scenery of that trek is kind of second to none in what we've done. So from a visual point of view, it's just amazing to film. And yeah, we loved it.
And before we finish up on Mount Rinjani, we actually haven't even described what it is. It's a volcano within a volcano.
Mount Rinjani is a volcano. It's not a mountain. And within that volcano, there is a lake that's, I think, 230 meters deep. So huge, hugely deep lake. And a volcano within the crater of the main volcano that is still active. So yeah, it's just really unique place. Really just stunning, like strikingly beautiful. And yeah, very, very hard to climb. Like, the terrain was all over the place. But anyway, like we say, we can talk about it as much as we like here, but really, you need to go and check it out on YouTube if you're interested, because, yeah, it's a visual experience, the trek.
I want to give a shout out to Angela, who had asked us in our Q&A. She had said, which place from the last 4 months exceeded your expectations? And this is the question that has inspired this conversation that we're having now, because they're actually every place we went to, every experience, it shifted our mindset. And, you know, that's why we're talking about, you know, Mount Rinjani and it expanding what we know to be capable of and, you know, building my confidence in particular. But I thought we could talk about the other experiences and how they shaped our mindset and perspective.
So I guess the first one that springs to mind is Gilead, which is a tiny little island that we went to just to kind of see it. Originally, we was like, great, we'll just go spend a week there. It'll be a bit relaxed. We'll be able to get on with some work. And it was like that. But before actually boarding the boat, because there's a 2-hour boat ride from the main island of Bali, and you go to this tiny little island. It's a set of three islands. This is for those of you who aren't familiar with the Gili Islands. There were three of them, and we went to the one called Gilead. And it was, we were expecting something really, really small with maybe one shop, one little road, and like a couple of places of accommodations for tourists. But actually, it was more like a microcosm of just a town. It was like a little town on an island. It had everything. It had its own gym, had a few bars, like loads of restaurants, lots of accommodation. It had a co-working space with like really strong internet. It of course had like things like dive schools, loads of places to snorkel. It even had an escape room, which is really crazy, really random. And what else did it have? I don't know, it just seemed to have a little bit of everything.
What I loved about it is that you just grab a bike and you cycle everywhere.
That's how you get around.
Yeah.
So it was somewhere that we didn't know what to expect, and we ended up going there, and it became like somewhere that we fell in love with. We were going to be staying there for the week, but then I'm not going to get too far into it, but unfortunately we couldn't leave to go to Japan, which was our original plan, because of documentation effectively. So we were like, great, what do we do? We're like stuck here now. We've just wasted money on these flights that we already ordered, and we were literally at the dock about to leave the island when we discovered this. And at the time, obviously, that feels like you beat yourself up, don't you? Because it's like, oh my God, that's completely our mistake. We've wasted loads of money. We've wasted our time. We had in our head everything we were going to do in Japan. And what we did is we kind of like, we took a little while to kind of regroup. We took a day of basically regrouping, going, okay, what are we going to do now? How's it going to work out? And because of this mistake that we made, we ended up staying on Gili Islands for another 3 weeks. We wouldn't have done Mount Rinjani, and we wouldn't have learned to dive if it wasn't for that mistake that we had made. And those are two of our most memorable experiences from our whole traveling. So I guess the kind of thing that I'm trying to get at here is that you can't plan your best moments. Like, you don't know what's going to be the best thing. And if things go wrong, or if you spontaneously do things and you just explore new places like Gili, which we weren't sure about. We just went and it happened to be great. We didn't want to go because we were like, oh, I want to stay where we were, because we were really enjoying where we were on Bali. But now that we went and then we accidentally stayed there for like a whole month, it's some of the best travel experiences. And yeah, that really surprised us.
And I think as well, when we shared this experience in our Gili film on YouTube, a lot of you commented how we were able, it was like
lemonade. There was a couple of comments that said, oh, what a real lemonade film. And I was like, what do you mean? And it was like, life gives you lemons and we made lemonade out of it.
Exactly. And that's what it felt like. And obviously, Van Life Japan would have been absolutely epic. And in a parallel universe, if everything had worked out.
Yeah.
And we had gone, we probably would have had an amazing time, and we would be saying that about that experience too. But that's the whole thing about life, right? It's that it's finite and that you cannot do everything all at once, but you make the most of what it is that you have.
And you also have no way of knowing what the alternative route would have looked like. So when you make a decision, you go one way, you have no way of really knowing what the other, like almost infinite routes that you could have taken would have looked like. So it's about embracing the one that you're on and enjoying the most, enjoying it the best you can.
And as a result of that, as we mentioned, we learned to scuba dive, which in full transparency is not something that was ever at the top of our list of things to do. We've talked about this before, where we've been like, it's amazing how it opened a new world to us. And you hear of people scuba diving, but it had never really clocked. Like,
I've always thought, oh, that sounds really cool. Like, but I'll never do that. It sounds a bit scary. It's a lot of effort. Like, you have to like really make sure you're somewhere where you can do it. But we found ourselves there. The school's right there. And it was Tanner, actually, it was you that really pushed us. Like, we should do it. We're here. We've got to make the most of this opportunity. So I'm really glad that you pushed for it, because we did. And for me, this was where I really pushed myself out of my comfort zone, because I'm not a massively confident swimmer. I'm not massively confident in water. I didn't learn to swim until I was like 13 or 14 or something. So very late.
That's late, yeah.
Very late. And I was, you know, I had no idea, would I feel claustrophobic underwater? Like, basically, I was just a bit anxious, a bit nervous about the whole idea of scuba diving, which is why I've never really gone out of my way to make sure I do it. But again, like, and this has happened to me time and time again, whenever you're scared of something and there's a, like, if there wasn't other people doing it and telling me to do it, I'd probably go, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to not do it. But you know it's the right thing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You push through and you do the thing, whatever that might be. And in this case, for me, it was scuba diving. And I am, like, absolutely no regrets for doing it. Like, quite the opposite. I'm so, so pleased that I did it. And that moment, and we've got it in the film, the moment when we're out on the boat before going into the sea for the first time, like, I did have a knot in my stomach.
Same.
I was really nervous. There were so many things going through my head about what I had to remember because of what you learned in the pool during the morning before for just a couple of hours. And I just thought, God, I don't know if I can do this. But then again, you make sure that you just do your best, you focus. And I'm like, oh yeah, that was fine. I'm actually more capable than I think. And that's just, it's just, again, it's just the same thing. You push yourself out of your comfort zone. You do the best you can do. And actually, if other people can do it, so can you.
Exactly. And the other thing was, of course, like, we're all familiar with, you know, David Attenborough series, and you see the colorful fish in your screen and it's in 4K and you're like, wow, that looks incredible. But, you know, there is nothing that compares with you seeing it yourself and going, oh my goodness, like, this is a whole different world. And these creatures, if they didn't exist on planet Earth, they just look alien.
Yeah,
they look like another planet.
It was amazing. And it's an experience that I now am raving about to anyone who will listen. It's like, go and do scuba diving. And I would say the second best thing to be able to experiencing it for yourself is watching our YouTube video.
Ah!
So if you're interested in this, head over to our YouTube channel and check out our film on the Gili Islands.
But, you know... Also, as we're talking about this, because I know that there will be people listening who will also hear scuba diving and how we
just click off and be like, oh, that sounds cool, but not for me.
Exactly. The message is, if you ever are in a place that's affordable, like Indonesia, because you get it a fraction of the price that, you know, you could if you were in the States or in the UK.
Just try and give it a go.
Exactly. That. And then the other thing, the other lesson and takeaway from this is, again, you don't know what you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. And we could have gone our whole lives without having experienced that and therefore not really forged any interest in it.
Most people don't go scuba diving, I'd say.
Exactly. Now, Adam, you have no interest in furthering your scuba diving education. That's absolutely fine.
I do want to keep doing diving though.
Exactly. You want to, like me, want to go different parts of the world. Like, here's the feeling that we were left with when we emerged from the water. We were like, oh my God, where else in the world could we go and go scuba diving? Again, it then unlocked a different way to perceive travel and travel experiences, right? So that was one. But for me, I thought, wow, there's other people on this boat that have very normal lives back home. Some people that are, you know, working in computers or just tech or whatever it was. And I've taken computers or
I
tech.
I like your idea of just generic normal jobs, computers, tech.
No, I know, but you...
Finance.
Accounting. No, but just to like illustrate the point that there were people that
they don't
had...
have to be full-time travelers to indulge in that passion.
Exactly. There were people there that had taken 2 or 3 months sabbatical to travel, to be in Gilliers, to do their diving masters. They were in their mid-30s or in their 40s. You know, there was a woman there that she had, I think she went there with her kids, and she had a baby that looked like was about 1 year old, and the her partner would look after the baby on shore while she would go off and she would get her diving masters, right? So where there's a will, there's a way. For me, seeing completely ordinary people pursue something that I had previously not even thought about, I thought, wow, again, if they can do it, so can I. And that has now forged part of next year's plan, which is for me to go back to Gilliers to train for my diving masters, because then I can take you out on, you know, diving expeditions.
Yeah, which is so funny. Yeah, I think the main takeaway for me about that is giving it a go, even if you're not sure about it, giving it a go means that you will have an opinion on it. And, you know, I could never dive again. If I didn't want to, I could just never dive again. But now I have dived, I've gotten experience, and I can decide, is that something for me? Something similar to it, I think, is kind of skiing. Like, well, snowboarding for me. Like, I haven't done a lot of it, but I gave it a go and enjoyed it. And that also opens up your traveling ideas. It's like, okay, cool. Different types of travel. It's like, okay, where, for me, this is what I think about now when I'm thinking about travel. It's like, okay, where can we go to go on a really cool hike? Where can we go to go diving? Where can we go that's got like cool skiing? And it's just things like that. I mean, skiing less so because it's quite an expensive one in general. So we don't really plan our lives around that so much. But I'm really like open to the opportunity of like, if I'm in a place like, oh, can I ski there? Can I dive there? Are there cool hikes there?
Yeah.
And just experiencing, exploring these new hobbies, I guess you'd call them, interests, passions, whatever you want to call them, opens up your world and your experience within the world.
Absolutely.
And I think the more, if you get an opportunity, the more of those kinds of things that you can try, and the more you can push yourself out of your comfort zone with those things, the more you can expand your horizons. And then you can choose, great, nope, not a fan of skiing, nope, not a fan of diving, nope, not really into hiking. And then fine, you know that now.
Yeah. And then you can pursue interests elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also what I really appreciate about all the things you've just mentioned is that the budget varies as well.
Yeah.
Like hiking is free.
Hiking is free. Hiking is accessible, and you can pretty much find hiking anywhere.
Oh, and by the way, guys, this is just to let you know, one of the things that we've been doing while we've been back here in JITS, back in the UK, is also organizing and setting up conversations for interviews for the podcast, the upcoming ones. And speaking of hiking, in a couple of days, we're going to be talking to an incredible woman who is in her 80s, who does extensive long distance hiking and camping by herself. We're really excited to share that episode when it comes out.
And we just had a conversation with some people who, in 1970, moved into a double-decker bus and drove it down, well, around the world, but basically down, a lot of the time was spent driving down through the Americas. So that was also an incredible episode. So we've got some really exciting episodes coming up. And we haven't even apologized for not posting one next week. Maybe we were just hoping, maybe you didn't notice. But we didn't post one next week, but we are back on it now. Last week, sorry, yeah. But we're back on it now. We are getting the podcast sorted, and we're getting a bit of a run of interviews in the pipeline, so we're very excited. But we just got so busy last week. We were in Iceland, we were kind of finishing the filming there, we were editing Mount Rinjani film that we've been speaking about, and we were coming back, getting settled in JITS. So it's just like all these things were going on. It's like, my god, when are we going to find time to do the podcast and to do it properly? And we didn't, so sorry about that. Bit of a late time to apologize, probably halfway through this episode, maybe more.
Well, also, as we apologize, I'm going to also say thank you so much to our Patreons who have recently joined us off the back of us
asking people to come and join our Patreon
to support the podcast and to support our films, because they would not be possible without you. So if you enjoy, we always say a free way to support us is to share a podcast with a friend, subscribe to the podcast so you know when a new episode is out, leave us a review, leave us a rating,
comment on the YouTube films,
do all the things that are completely free. They just cost a little bit of time.
Means the algorithm will favor us and put our things out and just help out our content be seen or heard by more people.
Exactly. If you so feel to support us financially by giving us £1 or £2 a month or whatever it is.
Or £500 a month if you like.
Oh my goodness. I think we would reject if someone was wild enough to do that. Then you can do so through Patreon, and in return, we post exclusive content there, and we also have live Zoom calls. We had a great conversation.
So much fun.
Yeah, we had a great conversation with our patrons when we were in Nepal, a Zoom call with them, and then also when we were in Iceland. So anyway, I'll leave it at that. Go over to patreon.com/ Jits Into Sunset, also linked in the show notes. We would love to have you there. And we also, every now and then, we add your name to the credit of our films. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Lovely. And I think that is it for this week. Mm-hmm. We are very excited to get back to normal, regular posting with our regular format next week, where we'll have our interviews coming out. So keep an eye out for those. And midweek, we have a little special episode, actually, about van life with cats. So look out for that one. And
make sure you're subscribed, that way you'll get notified.
Exactly. I think that's it.
Yeah, secret code emoji this time. I'm going to go with brain. Brain for mindset.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so, so much for listening. And we will see you same time, same place next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Also, Triggy says bye.
Triggy.